I wanted to open again in this lesson and just look at three or four healing scriptures. Not that the lesson is going to be on that, but I think it's good to read them, look at them, meditate upon them, since this class is on healing. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 53, and let's look at verses 4 and 5. I'm going to be reading from the King James, and look at these redemptive scriptures, because they are based on his redemptive work. Isaiah chapter 53 and verses 4 and 5. It says, "Surely he," we're talking about Jesus here, "he hath borne," and we could put our griefs, or you could say my griefs, my sicknesses. "He bore my sicknesses and carried my sorrows," or my diseases. "He carried my sicknesses and my diseases. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." Let me read the Smith translation and the Leeser. Says, "Yet it was our sicknesses that he bore, our pains that he carried." The Leeser, it says, "Our diseases did he bear himself, and our pains he carried, while we indeed esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." Now let's go over to Matthew 8:17. And the reason I like to read these is because the more you get those down in your heart, it'll just flow out of you like a river. We're depositing and watering and watering and watering. Matthew 8:17. "That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." This is the Moffat translation. "He took away our sickness and our diseases. He removed." He removed them. Well, if he removes something, it's no longer there. We can begin to do what? Receive it, accept it as being what? Done, and thank God. We don't have to pray for something that's already done. It's already been removed. "Yeah, but I'm still sick." That's just something that's going on in your body, but the work of removing the penalty of that has been removed. It's been removed. The New Life Translation, "He took on himself our sickness and carried away our diseases." Hallelujah, carried him away. 2 Corinthians 5:21. "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." I am redeemed. I am the righteousness of God in him. I am redeemed. I'm redeemed from what? Sin. And I'm redeemed from sickness. His precious blood has redeemed me. So the object of his sin-bearing, he bore our sins, was that we might be free from sin. I'm not under the bondage of sin anymore. The object of his sickness-bearing was that we might be free from sickness. He bore our sicknesses so that what? We don't have to. We don't have to bear them anymore. I'm not under the penalty of that anymore. He was penalized for that. He took my sicknesses, took my sin. 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24, familiar scripture in the King James Version. who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes, his stripes, ye were healed. I like the Amplified. It says, he personally bore our sins in his own body on the tree as on an altar and offered himself on it, that we might die or cease to exist to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. In the Easy to Read, it says the same thing. By his wounds you were healed. Hallelujah. So if I was healed, then I am healed. And that's not just the truth, that is the fact. That's the fact. We were healed. What did Jesus do when the devil tempted him? He said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So when he comes and tempts us, if he was tempted in all ways as we were, then that means he had to have been tempted with sickness. He had to have been. He felt everything that man did. That means he had to have felt it during his earthly ministry. He had to have been tempted with sickness. He had to have been. We don't read any accounts of it, but if he was tempted in all ways as we are, then he had to have been. Had to have been. So these scriptures reveal that Jesus not only shed his blood for what? Our, the remission of our sins, but that he did what? He, with his stripes, that by his stripes we were healed. So if I was made righteous, then what? I am righteous. If I was redeemed, then I am redeemed. If I was what? If I was healed, then I am healed. I am healed. Hallelujah. And you know, when the rubber meets the road, when the trial comes, you need to have that. That needs to be so firm in your heart. And I'm going to also say this. You can't override Scripture. If the Holy Ghost is leading, you can't override Scripture with the leading of the Holy Ghost. Because the Spirit and the Word agree. Always remember that. Sometimes I've heard stories, people doing things, and after the fact, you know, you hear so many stories. Brother Hagin talked about them. People getting on airplanes, and the Holy Ghost was nudging them, don't get on that plane. Don't get on it. And they get on it, and they die in a plane crash, but the Holy Spirit was leading them not to, and they were confessing Psalm 91. See? So you can't override the leading of the Holy Ghost with Scripture. So yes, we were healed, and we are healed. But God is going to lead us to fulfill that which we're confessing. He's going to fulfill that in our lives. He's going to lead us into that truth, however he does that to each one of us individually. Hope everybody understands that. So I want to look a little bit this evening. It may seem foundational to you, but I tell you, the more we meditate upon it, it gets back to some things that we'll share later. But let's look at some prayers, different prayers regarding healing in the New Testament, and let's take a look at or that pertain to healing in the New Testament. Let's look at John chapter 16, and let's look at verses 23 and 24. John chapter 16, and verses 23 and 24.
Whoa.
Well, you can set your watch to that. Toot, toot. God's word is more consistent than that, isn't it? More true. John 16:23 in the King James, "And in that day you shall ask me nothing." So in what day is he talking about? It's talking about the day we're living in right now. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." Hitherto, it just means up until this time, or up, you know, until now. Have you asked nothing in my name? Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day, talking about the day we're in now, this dispensation, "at that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you." So you can see here, even in this, when Jesus is speaking here, under that dispensation, it would have done no good for them to pray in the name of Jesus, would it? Because they were under the old covenant, and he had not been ascended to heaven to take up the high priestly role that he was to take, or to be appointed to. He had not been risen to be seated at the right hand of the Father. So it would have done no good for them to pray in the name of Jesus. But he said, in that day, you shall ask me nothing, but you should do what? Go to the Father, ask the Father in my name. And what happens? And he said, and he will give it you. So we have absolute concrete assurance that if we pray something that's promised in the Word of God, in the name of Jesus, that he will do it. I mean, you could take that, as they say, take that to the bank. The heavenly bank, right? And this is where we need to not try to figure it out. If we pray, then it's done. And if it's settled, then it's settled. Now, God may lead you not from that truth, but he may lead you in some ways, as we have all learned and experienced. So you can see here that the new covenant, think about this now, the new covenant is between God and man through Christ. So this new covenant that we have is between God the Father and man, or you could say between God and the church, right? You could say it that way. It's between God and the church, but it's through the one mediator, Jesus Christ. He's the mediator. He is the high priest of our profession. He has that high priestly role. And let's look at that. 1 Timothy 2:5, it says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." So, he is the one that we're praying to the Father in his name. But he's the mediator between the church and God. It's his blood that was shed. It was his blood that was deposited upon the mercy seat in heaven. Hebrews 8:6. It says, "But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also is by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Those better promises are healing, being redeemed from sin. We don't have to have bulls and goats ceremonies constantly for the sacrifice of sins. It was done once. Hebrews 3:1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Hebrews 4, verses 14 and 15, it says, seeing then that we have a what? A great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 8:1, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who was set on the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens. He is our heavenly high priest. Hebrews 9:1, last scripture. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come. Boy, you could say those good things are healing. Good things to come. By a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. So we can see here, he's the mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, and he is the high priest over this new covenant. Hallelujah. So if we pray, as Jesus said, if we pray to the Father in his name, he will do it. Hallelujah. That's good news to me. He will do it. So we're not to pray, as we say here, looking this what Jesus was talking or sharing here in John 16. We're not to pray, I mean, we know this, we're not to pray as they prayed under the old covenant. We're to pray as Jesus instructed. He said, in that day, you're to come to the Father. Pray to the Father in my name, and he will do it. And he said, what did he say? Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name? Ask, and you shall receive. Boy, that's definite. If somebody said, you shall receive, there's no doubt there. There's no doubt about it that it'll be done, that your joy may be full. So we have, every one of us, have a right under this covenant because we've been what? Redeemed. We're now made righteous. In Galatians 3:13, we have what? We've been redeemed by his blood from the curse of the law. So if we ask in his name, we have an absolute guarantee in Jesus' words here. And what does that say? He said, I only do those things I hear my Father say. I only say those things I hear him say. He was what? He was the will of God demonstrated. Or he was the will. What did the disciples say? Show us the Father. And he said, how long have I been with you? As if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And you could also say, if you heard me, you've heard the Father. You've heard his will. So if Jesus said, come to me and ask, he said, don't come to me. Come to the Father and ask in my name, and he shall do it. You shall receive it. So let's look at Matthew chapter 18. Let's look at another prayer here we could look at. Matthew chapter 18. You know, I shared this during Hour of Power today, and I think it you could go right here with it. You know, so often I used to hear Pastor Sarah, some of you may have served, participated in that but you could confirm this. We've heard Brother Hagin say it for years and years and years. At least I did. People would say, just pray. He'd say, pray for what? Or he'd say, okay, you and I are going to agree as touching something. And then when he got done praying, he'd say, all right, did you get it? And they'd go, well, I hope so. He said, well, you didn't. You didn't get it. He said, I'm believing that we received and you're hoping. So prayer in and of itself won't get the job answered. And yet we do pray. But it's praying according to what? For when we pray, what does the scripture say in 1 John chapter 5? It says, and this is the confidence, 1 John 5, 14 and 15. This is the confidence that if we what? Ask anything according to what? His will. Where is his will? In his word. So we could also say if we ask anything what? According to his will. Not just ask anything. We're just not bombarding heaven's gates and just petition God for something, because that's exactly will get you nothing. You're not going to get a response. You may come up short. People are doing that all the time. Just pray something for me. Pray. Just pray. I hear it all the time. Just pray a prayer. Pray what? And then that's what happens. Just pray for me. I got something's going on in my body. And then when something doesn't happen, it's God's fault. And if we apply the principles of prayer properly, your joy will be made full. And that's what the scripture says. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be made full. So Matthew 18, did you get there yet? Matthew 18 and verses 18 and 19 and 20. It says, and again, I say unto you that what? If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask. Now, when we stop here, we just say anything. That means anything according to what? According to his will, according to his word. So if they agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. This goes right along with John 16, 23 and 24. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So really what we're saying here, yeah, people say that when we assemble, where two or three are gathered together in his name, there we are. But the inference here is that where two or three are gathered, they're praying to the Father in the name of Jesus. And he's there to seal that. That's really what you see here. So when two believers are agreeing and united, and doing what? Demanding healing. They're not demanding of God, but they're demanding of the covenant that they have. In the name of Jesus, what does it say? It'll be done of your Father which is in heaven. What does the scripture also say? He watches what? He watches over his word to perform it. Jeremiah chapter 1. He watches over his word to perform it. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Let's go over there for a minute. Let's look at verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing. Or you could say some of the translation says, don't worry about one thing, be anxious for nothing. But what? In everything by what? Prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. So prayer has to be based on the promises of God. We just got done saying that or mentioning that. It's got to be the will of God. He hears us. But it can't just be based on prayer alone, but it's prayer based on what? That's what I was just saying. The answers are not just come from not just praying a prayer, but prayer that's based on the promises of God. So we need to add praise to our prayers. These are part of success in the area of healing. We've got to add some praise to our prayers, because this is what the scripture says. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, and what? Giving of thanks be made for all men. I'll give you another scripture. I jotted this down, Psalm 100, very familiar scripture. Enter into his courts or gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with what? Pre-praise. Be thankful unto him, and what? Bless his holy name. Bless his name. So we're to enter into his presence, into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. You know, Brother Hagin talked about this story about some man that was dying. They didn't give him much time to live. This was back in the 30s. He talked about, I've heard him share it many times when he was alive, and they said he just went, they just took him back to the farm. You know, this was way back in those days. Took him back in this remote area. He said he got just enough strength where he dragged himself, literally dragged himself. He said, I'm going to go out to that tree over there yonder, and he said, I'm just going to start, you know, seeking God and praising God. And he said, I'm just going to pray to God. And he said, as he was there, he got enough strength, and he said, I started to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And he said, he began to see that all of these things that he had been asking people, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. He said, he went to every person to have pray for him, well-known ministers. And he said, if I added up all their prayers, he said, I should have been healed. And then he began to recall, well, I am healed. So I'm just going to start praising God. I'm just going to start thanking him that I am healed. And he said what ended up happening, this story, is that the man got enough strength. He just started to say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. He said, just in a whisper, got his hands up here. He's laying on the ground. The devil, you know, he said, the devil said to him, they ain't going to find you. They're going to find you, and the buzzards are going to let them know where you are. So he just speaking to his thoughts. And he said, well, praise the Lord. And he said he got to the point where he could get his hands up in the air. And he said that the power of God began to move upon this man's body. And then he said it got to the place where he was shouting. They said, they could hear him. That I don't know how that could be. Maybe out in where it's flat. They said they could hear him 2 miles away. He was totally healed. So we need to add some praise and some thanksgiving. I know one time for me, I experienced one time. I had a something going on in my body. It was a fever or something going on, and I stayed home, which was rare for me in the ministry here. I stayed home that day, and I was just in bed, and I just decided to laugh at the symptoms. I said, you know what? I'm just going to laugh at this. I believe I'm healed. I'm just going to laugh. And I started just pitiful. Ha, ha, ha. I'm not feeling good. I was delirious, had a high fever, and didn't feel good, and I started to laugh. And after about 15 minutes, stirring started to come on here, just stirring in my spirit. Another 15 minutes goes by, and it started to get stronger and stronger and stronger. And I'm telling you, after about a half an hour, 45 minutes, I was shouting at the top of my lungs in the house. This was a private house I had. And I was literally shouting at the top of my lungs. And the power of God hit me. I mean, it was just... And so there are times that we're waiting on God to do something, and God is saying, praise me for what I've already done. Sometimes we're just feeling so bad that we're waiting for him to get the stuff out of our bodies. Oh, God, help me. Even as Christians, we do that. It's the truth. I hear it. I'm hurting. Pray for me. I'm thinking, wait a minute. Praise him because you are healed. And the power of God, you see, praise is still, we have to, when we praise, it is faith because I'm praising him for something that's already done. And that faith does what? Activates the power of God. And so I've got to begin to praise him for something that's already done, something I don't see yet, something I don't feel yet, and I'm going to praise him and let the power of God begin to work in my body. Amen. That's as Brother Hagin, when he was here years ago in 1990, that's keeping the switch of faith turned on. I believe the power of God's in me, and I'm praising him for what I don't see yet in my body. And that's got to come. You've got to just make a choice. I'm going to thank him and praise him. And that's what this scripture is saying. Be anxious. Don't worry about stuff. Don't worry about one thing. If you didn't have a care, what would you worry about? If everything was okay, you could worry about something that didn't come yet. I don't know. Maybe this will happen, you know? And you worry about something that hasn't happened. And that really, even if, and I'll say it this way, even if you got a diagnosis from the doctor, what do they always say? If you don't get this treated, this could or might happen to you. Hasn't happened yet. Has it? So we worry and fret over something that hasn't happened yet. It's the truth, because they'll work up a diagnosis and say, if you don't get this fixed, if you don't have this treated, this could happen to you. And some of them will say, it will happen. Oh yeah, they'll just get plain and say, if you don't do this, you're going to die. Really? So, yeah, I understand we need to be led by God, and we should be, because that's what I was sharing last Wednesday. But the point here is that we need to thank him and praise him for what is done. And that the power of God will go into operation and begin to work in our bodies and cause his healing power to work in our bodies. Begin to thank him. I know me. I'm telling you. I had another situation where I don't know, maybe it was a flu. I have no idea what it was, but I remember this was the very first time I put my trust in the healing power of God. I remember I got a Brother Hagin tape, a cassette tape. That's how long ago it was. It was on cassette, and I had that little cassette player in my bed. And it would go and click, and I'd flip it over and listen, click, turn it over, click. I did that for almost 24 hours. And I remember, you know, symptoms in general, after a certain time, they're going to abate. They're going to get usually, I'm saying, you know, if it's a cold or a flu, sometimes and most times, if you just let it run its course, after 2 or 3 days, it'll get a little better and better and better, right? So anyways, after about a day, I felt a little better, but there were still some things dragging. And even after I was listening to this tape, I said, well, let me just call, make an appointment to have a checkup. Get it checked. So I did. I called. And then I went back to listening to this tape. And I remember, like it was yesterday, I'm telling you, out of my spirit, it was like a volcano came up out of here. I jumped up out of bed because I said, whoa. And I jumped out of bed. This is listening to the word. Faith came. And out of here came tongues. Not English. And man, it came up out of here like a gusher. And I spoke in tongues and I knew I had it. Boy, I'm telling you, I knew I had it. I didn't feel any better. I felt still just as bad. But I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew I had it. Came up out of my spirit. So what did I do? I dragged myself out of bed, jumped in the shower, and I said, I'm going into work. And I did. I dragged myself into here. And I couldn't sit because it had drained me so much physically. I couldn't sit up for more than 15, 20 minutes without being dizzy and weak because I hadn't eaten in a couple days. And it had drained me physically. But I had it. Oh boy, did I have it. And it drove it out of my body. But faith came by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Not for an hour. I just kept listening till faith came. I just kept listening till faith came. Oh, yeah. So we need to add praise to our prayers. Now let's go to James chapter 5. Faith will come if you keep feeding on the word. Just keep feeding, keep feeding. James chapter 5 and verse 14 through 16. And it's another prayer. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with what? Oil in what? The name of the Lord. The name of Jesus. He's the Lord. And what? The prayer of what? Faith shall do what? Save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So here, it's not to say that we can't pray for ourselves, but this is another promise that we have. If you're not able to pray, or you don't know how to pray in a situation, or you need someone to pray for you, this is what this says here. Is any sick among you? Call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. And what? The Lord shall raise him up. So this here is a promise to us that we can exercise. And this says here, and the prayer of faith, this is what we were talking about, shall do what? Save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Hallelujah. So either individually, this is saying here, the prayer of faith will save the sick. Or it's here when we look at verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that they may be healed, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So here, if you get a couple of people praying, joining together, this is really when we look at Matthew 18 and 20, what did it say? If two or three are gathered together, what? In my name, there am I in the midst of them. So here we have a couple of people that are what? Righteous in Christ, know the promise of God, come to the Father in Jesus' name. What does it say? He will do it. He will raise them up. The key becomes whether or not when we pray and believe the scriptures, that when we come and lay our petition before God, the Father, based on a promise that's in the Word of God, Himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses and bore my diseases, whose own self bore my sins in His own body, that I, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes I was healed. So when I bring these petitions before God the Father in the name of Jesus, He's going to do it. So for us, it's believing that the power of God through our prayer of faith is causing the power of God to go into action and work. Then we need to add some praise to it and thank Him, give thanks. And say, thank you, Father. I thank you that you're working in my body. I thank you that the healing power is working in me. I thank you that it's working in every cell of my body or in that part that's not working properly. And I thank you for it. And I thank you that every part of my body is working properly. I am strong in the Lord. I'm not weak. Let the weak say, I am strong. And I thank you that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is doing what? Quickening and giving life to my mortal body. And you begin to keep say those things. You know, too often we give up too soon. We just stop too soon before we see the result. You just, and I'm not saying that we fit that bill in here, but I'm just saying, if God says, or Jesus said, hitherto have you asked me nothing, ask. He said, what did He say? In that day you shall ask me nothing, but ask of the Father in my name, and He will give it you. He will do it. What does the scripture say in Titus? He lies not. He doesn't lie. James 1, what does it say? The Father of spirits with whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. What does Malachi say? He changes not. So he doesn't change. He doesn't lie. He does not change. So if He said it, then I've got to stick to that. Now, if you're not seeing results, be open for an adjustment. Be open, believe God, continue, but He may say, go over here and do this, or go over here and do that. What is He doing? He's leading you and watching over His word to perform it. He's leading you in a direction to fulfill that. See, sometimes we're trying to play sometimes the part of God. We're saying, well, it should come this way. Right? Stop. Just believe that He will do it and that He's leading you to fulfill that. And that's the thing where sometimes we get in a ditch. I've gotten in the ditch over it one time. That was enough. I almost lost my life over that. Because I was standing on a promise that I am healed. And my body kept getting worse and worse and worse. And really, it was just bad eating habits. Got my stomach in a mess. I mean, really bad. And so, it wasn't until, you know, and I've shared this, but it's appropriate. You know, I was praying and saying the scriptures Now, it could have been I missed it somewhere. He never misses it. Now, I remember when I go back and I reflect, I remember a nudge or a prompt to stop drinking and eating certain things in my diet. I didn't do it. See? And I go back and I think about that sometimes and I say, yeah, there were some nudges and I didn't yield to that. See? A lot of us do that. So don't get so righteous about it. Some of us say, I've got to have this, or I like this, or I have a taste for this, right? We all do that. And God may give you a little nudge and say, I need you to adjust your diet. Why? I like that. Yeah, you like living, then do the adjustment, right? Whatever it's diet, it could be exercise, or whatever it is, whatever the instruction is, he's trying to lead you into victory here, where his promises are concerned. So I remember hearing his voice, and it wasn't this bump, 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 bump. It was just a little, still, small voice, very gentle, very light. If you didn't pay attention, you'd have missed it. He said, if you don't go to the doctor and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of the year. And it's July. So I had been a year in pain, but I had been 1 year, I was so convinced of the word and convinced, because I'd received healing other way, praising him and believing God. And I said, I got this. Yeah, he knew something. And I could have overridden that instruction from him and died. See, and a lot of people will say, I believe I'm healed. And all along, the Holy Ghost might have been nudging them to do something, and they ignored it. And then we look at that and say, well, they were a man or woman of God. They were saying they believed they were healed. Yeah, but you don't know what God had been instructing them to do. See, so I'm always one. I said, look, I've experienced some things, a few things, and I'm convinced that God leads his sheep. Yes, the word is infallible and it's forever settled in heaven, but he leads his sheep. And we cannot override his directions with the word. We cannot. He's God. What did Mary say? Whatever he says do, do it. They could have gone and said, we're going to go over in the corner and pray and believe for money to collect and go buy the wine. They wouldn't have got a miracle. See, whatever he instructs us to do, we have to do it. Yes, we get instruction from the word of God, and that's where you should go. And you believe God. But then in the believing and the conviction, if you get an instruction to do something, see, he's not going to instruct you to not believe his promise, but he may instruct you to do something. That's what you need to do. And you're still believing him. You're still believing that I am healed. See, does everybody understand that? So, anyways, let's go back. Let's wrap up here. So the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we have a high priest. And in this verse 24 of John 16, he says, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, so we have to ask in his name. And what does it say? You shall receive that your joy might be made full. Well, I'm believing that the more we feed, the more we hear the word of God, the more this gets down in our spirit, that we will walk not just in healing, but divine health. That's just the what I call the optimum, right? Doesn't mean that you're not going to have something go on in your body. It doesn't mean that, but it just means that I'm going to constantly speak the promises of God, speak what is the truth, and activate the power of God in my body to do what? Keep it running right. Keep it moving. Keep it strong. Keep it healthy. Keep it vibrant. And in that, he may have us make some adjustments in our lifestyles, right? I mean, that's just the truth. Some of us, you know, I kind of laugh at some folks, you know, that I'm thinking about one person, I won't mention his name, but I laugh every time I see him. I said, your wife is keeping you off the Big Macs and the Wendy's and all of that. And he said, yeah. And I said, and you look much better and thinner, and you've trimmed down, and you're more alert and active. See, so sometimes in that, you know, I'm not saying that's always the case, but I'm going to speak the word of God, and then I'm going to be open to be led. Not to do something different. I'm going to believe God, trust him, but he may prompt us to say something over our body. He may encourage us or stir our hearts as we feed upon the word of God. See, this is what I mean. Get that down in your spirit. Keep listening to it. Keep feeding, and then something will come up in your spirit. It'll just rise up. That's faith. That's when you speak. You speak that. Speak that and release that word, because the Holy Ghost is stirring your heart to do that. Right? Those are the kind of things that will keep us walking in victory in this area. Praise God. Amen.